morning. Come on. Isn't he good? Isn't he faithful? Woo! Man, I could have stayed in that worship flow. But hey, you guys may take your seats. Good morning again and welcome to Alive, man. It's a good morning to be in God's house this morning, and we're so glad that you guys have joined us here at Alive, and we're in the middle of a series, kind of working our way towards the end of this series. This week and next week, we're in a series this January we've titled Revive Me, where we're kind of looking to God's word to just say, Lord, what are some specific ways that we can experience personal revival in our lives and our relationship with you? And as we've been mentioning all series, revival starts with us. It starts with me, right? Before revival can ever break out in our church, before revival can break out in our community, it must first start within us. Another way I put it last week was before we can experience revive all, we must first experience revive me. Amen. And we've been looking at this revivalist, great revivalist of the first great awakening here in America at John and Edwards quote each week. I want to show you guys this again. He said, revival is the acceleration of the normal Christian life. We really like that. We've been saying it all month, but I just believe by the Spirit of the Lord that this year, 2025, can be and shall be and will be a year of acceleration for all of us. Acceleration in our relationship with the Lord. Acceleration in our relationships. Acceleration in our finances. Acceleration in our community. Come on, somebody. Who's ready for some acceleration in their lives this year? And we've been saying it, if I believe and we believe that this year, 2025 could be your and you and mine's best year ever if, everyone say if it's our best year spiritually, right? And we've been taking this journey through this Revive Me series. In case you missed either of our first 2 weeks, just a quick recap. Week one was the acceleration of prayer. We talked about how prayer can help revive us, right? And for those of you guys that have been joining us for 21 days of prayer and fasting, we're 2 weeks down. I just want to encourage you. Come on, somebody. We got one more week. We got 7 days. And here's what I've always experienced. This last week is the week of breakthrough. This last week, the cravings come back strong. This last week, we want to just coast. This last week, the enemy might have tried to attack us, but I'll tell you what, if we don't go under, we're going over, amen? And so stick with it, keep praying, keep seeking God, making space for him. I believe breakthrough is on its way. But last week, if you guys weren't with us, we talked about how God also likes to revive us according to his word, right? And we looked at how God's word, the Bible, has the power to revive you and I, how we can read it, but not just read it, we can hide it, meditate it, and hide it in our hearts, and then we can speak it out of our mouths, and how there's so much power to transform our lives and revive our lives from the Word of God. But today I'm really excited because I want to look at another way that you and I can experience personal revival in our lives, and that's through worship. Everyone say worship. Worship. Yes, man, there is so much untapped power of praise in worship, and then we see this in God's word. And so I want to explore this concept together and this topic together in a message that I've titled Winning with Worship. Everybody say winning with worship. Maybe our favorite football team did not do that last night, but we're going to win with worship this morning anyways. Amen. How many of you guys know that God is still on the throne? Amen. And he's still good and he's still faithful. And he's got some gold in his word this morning about how you and I can win with worship every time. Amen. Would you join me as we pray to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from God's word this morning? Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful, and we're so thankful for your presence and your power in our midst this morning. Lord, we're hungry for more of you. We want ourselves, we want to be revived, Lord God. We want to experience revival in our personal relationship with you, Lord. Come teach us, Holy Spirit, how worship can help us win in all areas of life, and how worship is our weapon, and how worship is our warfare, and how worship helps refresh us and fight our battles for us. Lord God, I thank you for great breakthrough as we open up and break open your word. Lord, I thank you that you're going to break through in our hearts and our minds and our lives today in a powerful way. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and everybody agrees, said, amen. And so if you and I desire to be revived in our lives, then we have to check up on our worship. We always got to go check up on our worship, because worship is such an important part and has such an important place in our personal relationship with God, in our connection with God, in our victory level of how we walk out God's plans in our life. Can I just take a minute, just a moment, to remind all of us this morning, myself included, of why we were created? Can anybody help me with that? We were created to worship. Yes, us, the creation, were created to worship the Creator. Amen? We are the creation. He is the Creator, and He made us so that we could worship Him, right? Worship, what is worship? It's so many things, but ultimately, it's gratitude. It's gratitude, it's thanks, and it's praise for who God is, what He has done, and it's putting our faith and trust in the Lord, not ourselves. Because remember, we are the creation, we aren't the Creator, right? But I think sometimes we can get it twisted, we can forget, and we can worship ourselves and our talents, our abilities that God gave us, right? No, we're called and we are created to worship our God, our Creator. In week one, we saw how prayer has the power to revive us. And I've always been taught, and I've experienced this, that worship is actually the highest form of prayer. Worship is the highest form of prayer. Why? Because it is not focused on us. It's not focused on us 1 ounce. There's no personal agenda with worship. It is no hidden motives. It's just pure, holy, unadulterated worship and thanksgiving and praise to an almighty God. Therefore, worship is the highest form of prayer in our lives. And sometimes I think it's important for us to be reminded that worship actually isn't for us, right? Who's it for? It's for Him, right? Worship isn't for us, yet we can have our own personal opinions about I like that song and I don't like that song and this. And worship's not for us. It benefits us. We're going to talk about that. But worship's for Him. Amen? It's all about our focus, our heart posture, our attention on Him. It's an attitude and a posture of our heart of thankfulness and gratitude and joy towards the Lord. You see, worship helps create the atmosphere that God loves to move in, right? We talk about this a lot here at Alive, but I think it's important to remind ourselves that the Bible in Psalm 22, verse 3 tells us that God inhabits the praise or the worship of His people, right? Psalm 22, 3, out of the old King James Version, throwing it back, right? But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Israel is God's people. We're a type and shadow of Israel. God inhabits the praises of His people. This is a powerful truth. When you and I worship, when we praise God, God's presence comes to dwell with us. And when His presence comes, guess what comes with it? His power, His nature, who He is, right? To be revived, to be refreshed, we need to constantly win the worship battle in our lives. And what do I mean by that? I mean that every single day that you and I wake up, we will worship something. We will worship something or someone or some outcome, but we all give our attention, our gratitude towards something. The question is, what is it or who is it? And is God filling that major space of worship in our lives? I love this challenging declaration that King David made in Psalm 34, verse 1. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth." This isn't just a Sunday morning worship set thing. This isn't just a revival night thing on a Sunday night for 1 month. This is a daily, continual challenge to always worship the Lord, no matter what we're going through, no matter how we're feeling, no matter how good life is going or how not good life is going. It doesn't change the fact that God is worthy to be praised. Amen? And if we want to be revived and refreshed spiritually, then we must allow worship to become part of our daily life, not just a once on Sunday type thing. And so for the remainder of our time together this morning and in this message, I want to share with you guys three things that will help you win with worship. Three things that help us win with worship. How do we win when we worship the Lord? All right, you guys ready? If you're taking notes, number one, the first one is this: worship refreshes us. Worship refreshes us. This is the beauty. One of the most amazing things about worship that I love is it's actually not for us at all, right? It's all about Him. It's for Him. Yet it has the power and the ability to bless us. It's for God, but it can bless or refresh us. You know, I found that nothing in this life can help refresh me and satisfy me like worship to the Lord. There's a lot of great things that I do love, right? For instance, Moose Tracks ice cream. Seven more days, and I will meet you again. Any beautiful, hot, sandy beach with that amazing woman on the front row refreshes me. 9 more weeks, spring break. Come on. Come on, Lord, right? And something like, nothing like curling up in front of the fireplace on a cold winter's day, which it's getting cold outside. You guys know it's going to get colder the next few days. I'll probably be doing that later this afternoon. Nothing refreshes me more in life than worship and praising God. And we live in a culture that has such a fast pace, crazy busy pace, and often can become stressful, right? Things can become stressful. And if we're not careful, we forget to worship. And I love what A.W. Tozer said. He said, without worship, we go about miserable. A life without worship to the Lord is a miserable life. It's no life to live. It's not how we were created and designed to live, and it's not going to get us through each day and each week, right? One of the greatest sources of refreshing that you and I can experience is found in the power of worship. No matter where you guys might find yourself today, no matter what condition or state or what battles you might be fighting today, how many guys would agree we can all take a little bit more refreshing in our life? We can all have a little bit more breath of God in our life, a little spiritual revival in our life, no matter whether we're good, we're in the middle, we're bad, it don't matter. We'll take some more refreshing, please. That sounds good, right? And there's two places in the Bible where we see the power of worship present to refresh and revive. I want to go to those real quickly here. The first one is where King David helps refresh Saul. And we see this in 1 Samuel 16. Don't go to the scripture just yet. I want to give you guys some context. But in 1 Samuel 16, what's going on? Well, the prophet Samuel just came to anoint David, the next king of Israel. Saul was a king, but his heart got wicked, and God removed that anointing and mantle and anointed David. Yet there was going to be a period of time before David actually stepped into his kingship, right? And we know this all throughout Samuel here. Saul's trying to kill him, and Saul gets jealous and all those different things. And so this is going on, but the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, the Word of God says, and now a displeasing or disrupting spirit was plaguing Saul. Let's take a look at what Saul does and what David does and what the result and the solution is. So in 1 Samuel chapter 16, just verse 23, that's all we're going to look at. It says, and so it was whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So this distressing spirit is upon Saul. It's driving him nuts. It's ruining his mental capacity. It's distracting him. He's not living life how he's created to live, right? And what does David do? He takes his harp and he plays songs, and the distressing spirit leaves Saul in his presence. Now, if you look up the Hebrew of the word distressing spirit, it means evil, but it also translates sad, unhappy, or unpleasant. Sad, unhappy, and unpleasant. Now, we don't know specifically if David sang to whatever songs he was playing, but if you know anything about David and his kind of his character arc in the Bible, David was a worshiper, amen? He wrote the majority of the Psalms, which are spiritual worship songs of the Old Testament. He's the author of many of them. So it wouldn't be too far-fetched or too far-stretched to believe that when the distressing spirit was on King Saul, David was playing and singing a worship song to the Lord, and that spirit that was troubling Saul left, right? It wouldn't be too hard. Now, the Word of God doesn't say that specifically, but what do we know? David was a worshiper. And here's what I know. The worship that was happening refreshed Saul. It refreshed him. It said it made him well. He was not well before the worship, and then he was well after the worship. There must be some power in worship, amen? There must be something that can change the atmosphere of a room when we worship, right? Worship affects the atmosphere. Worship affects our attitude and our mood, right? I don't know about you guys. Sometimes you might walk in here on a Sunday not feeling it, but after song three, you're like, wow, I'm so thankful I came. I'm feeling a little bit better about myself. I'm feeling a little bit more excited about the day. Why? Because worship changes our attitude and our mood. It affects things. And so I want to encourage you, maybe I'll preach for a little bit. Are you struggling today? Are you going through a rough season right now? Are you dried out? Are you burnt out? Are you weary? Are you feel like you're drying up on the vine? If you feel like you're disconnected from God, you need some refreshing. And one of the ways we see in God's word that we can be refreshed is through worship and creating that atmosphere. And maybe you need to start worshiping and make it a part of your daily life. If you need help creating the atmosphere in your car, at your workplace, at your home, turn on some worship. Turn on some worship, right? And if you need help, I don't know what songs to sing, and I like the ones we're doing here, but I have no clue what's going on. We try to make it easy. A lot of you guys are familiar with this, but maybe some of you newer guys don't realize this. If you're on Spotify, search Alive Family Church worship playlist. And every single month, we update that playlist with all the songs we'll be singing in God's house that month. And that's a great thing that you can have and repeat in your car and at your home and all of that. When you're just trying to get through the thing of life, God doesn't want us to just try to muscle through. He wants us to create the atmosphere. He wants to refresh us, and it happens through worship. So let's up our worship a little bit, right? The other thing that we see is King David worships after a great loss in 1 Samuel 30. Don't go there just yet. But 1 Samuel 30, let me give you the context here. So David was anointed king, but he was not king yet and been running from Saul. And he also had some enemy armies coming against him. And right then, David and the mighty men, they were outposted in a city called Ziklag. And they come back and they realize that they have lost everything. The city of Ziklag had been burned to the ground. David's family had been kidnapped. All of his mighty men have stones in their hand about to stone and kill David because their wives and their children and their family members have been kidnapped by the Amalekite army. And he's at his all-time low. He's at a low of lows. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look like it's going to end well with all of these dudes really mad about what had happened. He's the leader, and this shouldn't have happened. But his response is quite astounding of what he does and how he gets through this low moment. I want to look at it in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed. There's that distressing spirit again. There's that down and out spirit. He was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But check out this. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord. The King James Version says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, again, it's one of these passages where we don't get much concept of, like, how did he encourage himself? How did he strengthen himself? It basically says David refreshed himself in the Lord in one of the lowest moments of his ministry in his life. How did David do this? I have to believe with all my heart, worship was a part of it. Worship was a part of it. Why? Because the Bible doesn't give us specific details, but again, we know who David was. We know that all along the path, when he hit hard moments, he wrote songs that got him through. We see all throughout Psalms, we get a glimpse into his heart of what was going on through the history. We read the prophets and we see the history of what's going on. We read the Psalms and we get an in peek or a peek inside his heart, his soul, of what's going on, right? All of these different moments. And so David somehow strengthened himself. I don't think he just sat there and was like, and powered up, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did he do that? He's a worshiper. All he does and all he knows to do is to worship the Lord anyways. And so he strengthens himself. He encourages himself. He worships. I can just imagine David in his lowest moment reminding all of a sudden a playback of that playlist of all those songs and all those moments, how God's people had their back against the wall, and there's this giant named Goliath coming against him. And all of a sudden he starts speaking about and praising God that he helped him defeat that giant, right? He remembers all the times that he'd been protected from Saul. Saul tried to kill him and take him out and wrongfully accuse him, but yet he always honored the king and always honored the position and how God had come through. Time and time again, David's reminding himself and he's worshiping and he's thanking God for how he protected him, how he always provided, how he always led him, always took care of him, right? He begins to worship and strengthen himself, encourage himself in the Lord, and all of a sudden they seek the Lord, and the Lord says, go out and go whoop those Amalekite butts, and he raises up the guys that had stones one moment are riding out on horses and go conquer the enemy and get their kids back. How did that happen? I believe it had to be with worship. And even though some of us might be like, well, it doesn't specifically say that, so be silent where scripture's silent. We always teach that. That's cool. But here's what I know the Bible didn't say. It didn't say that David sat there and felt sorry for himself and had a pity party and stayed in his low place. It didn't say that he lied to himself about the reality of the situation he was facing. It didn't say that he was getting drunk or getting high or chasing highs or substances to numb the pain of his circumstances. It didn't say that he was harming himself or harming others because of this crazy situation he found himself. No, David encouraged himself in the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord. David worshiped and praised the Lord anyways, and it changed the situation and it refreshed him. Are you needing some refreshing in your life right now? You need some refreshing in your relationship with the Lord. You need some refreshing in your marriage. You need refreshing at work. You need refreshing in your home. Worship. What's the solution? What's the answer? Worship the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord, not in the world. Refreshing comes from the Lord, not from the world. So when we need to unplug from the world, we need to plug into the refreshing spout named Jesus, amen? And let him refresh us. And one of the ways we do that is by being proactive in worship. And sometimes I found, you know, in different seasons where I need some spiritual refreshing in my life, that my playlist needs a refresh. Can I step on some toes for a second? Y'all are free to listen to whatever you want. It's a free country. You can put in what, here's what I've always been taught. Whatever you put in is what you get out. So the natural secular top 40 is not going to refresh you spiritually. I love 21 days of prayer and fasting because honestly, every year in this time, I just find myself, all I listen to is worship for those 3 weeks. Some be like, oh, that's lame, that's boring, whatever. It's so life-giving. This whole week as I was preparing and studying this message, I was intentional to practice what I preach. I put on worship lightly in the background as I was preparing this message. I was so encouraged. I was so refreshed. I was so dialed in spiritually of what the Lord was saying. And he showed me some things that I wasn't expecting to even find out or see because I was so spiritually connected. Sometimes if we need to be refreshed spiritually, our playlists need a little refresh. We need to take that through the lens of, is this taking me closer to God or pulling me farther away from God? Is this putting me towards the Lord or towards the world? Because where does the refreshing come? It comes from God. That's no condemnation, but just a challenge to you. I want to give you a worship challenge. If you're dry, if you need some breakthrough, if you need some refreshing in your life, for the next week, maybe just try it in a baby dose. For the next week, I challenge you to only listen to worship music when you listen to music or no music at all. Worship or nothing. Just for a week and just see your mood, see your devotion time, see your connection and intimacy with the Lord. See what's coming out of your mouth, because what you put in is what you get out. Amen. And so I'm just encouraging you. There's nothing wrong. I love, there's great secular. I'm not knocking that. Not everybody's bad or all that stuff. And yes, I listen to other stuff too. But for a season, sometimes to get refreshed, we cut out some of the noise and we drink from the spout that refreshes us. Amen. Worship refreshes us. Amen. It's time to get our worship on, Alive Family Church, because worship refreshes us. Can I go to get amen this morning? Amen. That's number one. That was a long number one. We're going to breeze through these other two. Number two is this. Worship brings breakthrough. Everyone say breakthrough. When we worship, it allows God's power to be released, which allows breakthrough to happen in our lives. And one of my favorite examples of this is with Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Let me give you guys the context, and then we'll go to two verses in a moment. Paul and Silas are preaching God's word. They're doing the ministry that God called them to do in the book of Acts, and they're beaten and thrown in prison in Philippi for casting out a demon from a slave girl that made her masters a lot of money, but now no longer can make her master's money. So they got ticked and they threw him in prison. They put him in the inner prison, not just the outer, the inner one, deep into the jail, and they put their feet in stocks. So they literally locked up, chained to the wall, nowhere to go. It was dark, it was cold, it was painful, and it was very isolated. It was a very lonely, dark place, not where they were called to be and not God's best for their life. Can I get an amen on that? Yet their response in their circumstances is so powerful. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Man, I love these. Some of you guys have heard this, but never gets old to me. Verse 25, but at midnight, everyone say midnight. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns or singing songs of worship to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Someone say shaken, right? And immediately the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. The power of breakthrough when we choose to praise and worship God is on a whole nother level. But at midnight, what's midnight symbolize? Your darkest hour, your roughest circumstance. When you got your back against the wall and it looks like there's no hope, you have no clue what to do, how to do it, where to go, what to do, how to respond. When in the midnight hour, God can come through and turn it around, right? What were they doing? Oh, they're probably complaining to God and telling them, giving them an earful. God, why are we in here? We're supposed to be out here. I thought you were on our side. No, no, no. That's not what we read in scripture. It said they were praying and singing hymns or worship songs to God. Not quietly like, Jesus loves me. This. They were singing it so loud that all the other prisoners heard. They're like, whoa, there's a worship concert going on in that cell. Somebody's getting, someone doesn't sound depressed in that cell. Someone's not down and out in that cell. Somebody's having a great old time in that. Somebody's having church over there, right? What's going on in that cell, right? They're singing and worshiping. What happened? Suddenly, I love the power of worship in our life. God can do suddenlies when we begin to worship him. Suddenly, things can shift. Suddenly, the atmosphere can change. Suddenly, we can get a shot of joy. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit can speak. Suddenly, God can do things when we worship him. What happened in this verse? The prison foundations was shaken. How many of you guys know worship shakes things up? It shakes things up. The enemy hates it. It shakes things up. He didn't like us singing songs. He didn't like you worshiping outside of church because it shakes things up. And what happened? The doors were open. They flung wide on all these jail cells. Worship will open doors in your life. If you got a door that's shut in your face and you need it to open and you don't have no clue, worship. If you need help in a situation that looks so hopeless, worship. If it feels like you're a million miles away from what you're called to be doing or supposed to be doing, and it's really hard to even fathom how you're going to ever get there, worship, because God can open doors that no man can shut. Amen. And what else happened? Everyone's chains were loosed. Paul and Silas, chains were loosed, the doors flung, and it says all the other prisoners. Here's what I love about worship. Worship will spill over on other people in your life. It didn't even set just them free. It set the prisoners free too. Come on. They weren't even singing. They were like, what? Have you ever heard that song before? No, I don't know. Who's Yahweh? Who's Jehovah? What are they singing about? Praise be the Lord. Who's he? Right? They don't even know this guy. They don't have a relationship with the Lord. And they're listening. They're hearing. And their prison doors get flung open. And their shackles. Come on. You need something. You need victory for your kids right now. In your kids' life, you need to start worshiping. Amen. You need some victory in your marriage for your spouse. You need to start worshiping, right? Your boss needs a lot of Jesus. Hello. Come on, somebody. You better start worshiping right now. Come on, somebody, right? You need help because your favorite football team lost last night. You better start worshiping. Come on, somebody. Sorry, sensitive subject. Too soon. Too soon. I'm a Bears fan, so it's like we're horrible anyways. So, like, I don't even have pity. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I do. I hurt too. I was cheering. It's like Michigan lost. You know what I'm saying? Like the state, our great state, or the city of Detroit lost last night. You know, it's like, all right, I told myself I wouldn't get off on this, so keep it focused on the Lord. When there looks like there's no way out, worship. When it looks like you're locked up and chained up and bound by things, worship. It can suddenly shake the foundations of that issue and release you and give you breakthrough. Amen? Breakthrough happens when you and I worship. That's why it's so powerful. That's why it's so powerful. Y'all's doing good? One more. We got number three here. You guys doing good? The last thing of how we win in worship, number three, worship fights the battle. Worship fights the battle. Worship is a great offensive weapon in our lives as believers. When we worship, we activate an all-powerful God to go on our behalf and fight our battles. One of my favorite stories when it comes to the power of worship in the Bible is what the Lord instructs King Jehoshaphat to do in 2 Chronicles 20. We're not going to go there just yet, but I want to give you guys the context. Yeah, King Jehoshaphat, maybe we call him King Joe for short. Does that sound good? Because Jehoshaphat is a mouthful, all right? In the Old Testament, God's people and Judah are, you know, reigning and ruling, but there's enemies coming at him all around them. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir have surrounded God's army. King Jehoshaphat's the king and the commander of the God's people in this time, and they are surrounded. In the natural, it looks like it's doomsday for these guys. That all these three different nation groups are all against them on every side. They're moving in on them. They are goners, except the response. So the king does only know what he does. They're going to lose. They're going to lose a lot of life if the Lord doesn't help them. So he calls a fast, and they have a prayer meeting. And they seek God's face. And check this out. We get a little glimpse into what happened here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 15 through 19. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat," the Lord speaking, "thus say the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." I love that. The battle's not yours. It's God's. He goes on, "Tomorrow you'll go down against them. They will surely come to you by the son of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves." Everyone say, "Position yourself." "Position myself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord. And what did they do? They worshiped the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohaths and the children of the Korahites stood and up and to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they begin to praise God. They begin to worship him. They begin to go on the offensive, even though they're surrounded on every side by evil armies that want to annihilate them and take them off the face of the earth. They begin to bow their face and they begin to worship him. And the next thing that the Lord leads King Joe to do is phenomenal. Many of you guys are familiar with this story. Check out the interesting way they go out to attack the enemy armies. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 21 through 24. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who could sing to the Lord and those who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.' Now, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. And for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped." Let me say, whoa. Quite the military strategy there, King Joe. King Joe puts the worshipers in front of the weapons. Can you picture Braveheart? Mel Gibson, half his face painted blue. And instead he's like, all these dudes with axes and bows and arrows. No, no, no. Excuse me. You play the harp. You sing. You play the guitar. Hey, we need a drummer out here, right? Get out here in front of that and charge on that battlefield. No shield, no nothing, just the Lord God Almighty in worship. Seems like a kind of crazy strategy, doesn't it? Except, did you read what happened here? Did you catch the details? The Lord defeated all three of the armies. They turned on each other. The Lord set ambushes against these enemy armies as the people of God just began to praise the Lord. Their last ditch ever, "Lord, we just trust you. I'm just going to lift a hallelujah anyways. It might be hard. It might be hard to praise you. It might be hard to lift my hands. It might be hard to sing in these services because I'm going through this, or you fill in the blank, or you feel like something's coming against you and it's really hard." They begin to worship and the Lord fights the battle for them. And they all annihilate themselves. That is a supernatural victory. And it was initiated by what? Worship. That's why I get so fired up about worship. It has the power to defeat our enemies, and God fights our battles for us. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're going through a rough season. You'd say, "Man, Pastor, it's bad times. It feels like your situation is hopeless. It feels like you're outnumbered on every side," kind of like the Israelites, right? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to say. Worship. Worship the Lord. The Bible said, position yourselves. How do we position ourselves to win? Worship. How did they position? They got low and they worshiped, and then they put the worshipers on the front line. I say, let's sing. Praise be the Lord. Grace be to God, who always causes us to triumph and win. They start worshiping the Lord God Almighty. And the Lord sets ambushes against these enemy armies. Powerful stuff. You see, I feel like some of you are trying to fight your own battles right now. You're trying to wield your sword or your javelin. You're trying to kill the enemy that it's not even your battle. It's the Lord's battle. And you feel like you come back each week and you're getting a little whooped in this area of your life and you're not sure what to do. Maybe today it clicks. Maybe the dots connect for you to say, oh my gosh, I need to put my sword down. I need to put my hands up. I need to put my striving back and I need to start opening my mouth heartfeltly to the Lord and begin to worship him because he wants to fight my battles. He's the one worthy and powerful to defeat the enemy. Position yourselves. Maybe you're here and things are good in your life. You're doing okay. You and the Lord, you're in a sweet spot right now. You're loving 21 days of prayer and fasting. You're reading the word. This series is reviving you. You're applying some of the things. Guys, worship isn't just for when you're in a tough season. Worship is for every season. Amen? When you worship the Lord, you go on the offensive. And I feel like for the Lord wants to tell some of you that are doing all right with the Lord, stay on the offensive. Don't let your guard down. Keep the worshipers in front, right? I'm a sports guy and I'm always taught this. Sometimes the best defense is a good offense. Growing up, I played a lot of basketball and our coaches would always say, when we're scoring and filling the basket every time, the other team has to rebound it, take it out of bounds, reset, put it in. By that time, we're already back on defense. When the ball's going in, it's actually a good defense. When I'm shooting threes and clanging it off and it's a long rebound, the other team grabs it with a head of steam, they're already on a fast break. We're already outnumbered. So stay on the offensive because that's a really good defense against the enemy, against the things of the world. Stay on the offense. How do we stay on the offense? We stay on the offense through praise, through worship. Don't wait until the enemy has surrounded you, is chanting at you and saying, ha, ha, ha. Just stay on the offense because here's what I found. If you're constantly praising the Lord, if you're constantly calling upon the name of Jesus, the enemy is running another way. He can't stand it. He can't stand it. And he's not more powerful than the Lord. And so if we're invoking the Lord every single day in our lives spiritually, that's how we stay refreshed. That's how we have breakthrough. And that's how God fights our battles. And that's how we get through, worship. And so if we want to experience revival, if we want God to revive us, then we got to worship. We got to praise his name. Because what did we learn today? We learned that number one, worship refreshes us. It takes that down and out, depressed, anxious, worrisome spirit and tells it to go and stay away. Worship brings breakthrough when we feel like we're locked up and our feet are in the stocks and there's no way out, there's no escape. God can shake the foundation suddenly and open up prison doors for us. And number three, worship fights the battle. Worship fights the battle because the battle's actually not ours. It's the Lord's. So let's invoke his name. Let's invoke his power. Let's invoke his wisdom. Let's invoke his perspective in our life. And we do that by trusting and putting our faith in him and worshiping him for who he is and what he has done. And so this week, Alive Family Church, may we win with worship. Amen. Would you guys pray with me real quick? Heavenly Father, we love you so much and we're just so grateful and thankful for your power and your presence in this space. And thank you for teaching us, Holy Spirit, and reminding us, Holy Spirit, of the great power and impact of worship. Lord, we know that worship's not for us, it's for you. But in your goodness, in your mercy, Lord, when we worship you, it changes and revives us. Lord, I just thank you for a new wave of worship flowing through our lives and our hearts throughout our daily walks with you, Lord God. I thank you as we put the atmosphere of praise and we turn the dial of worship up in our rooms and in our cars and in our earbuds, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you would begin to refresh us like none other because refreshing comes from you, not from the world. And so, Father, we drink from the spout that refreshes us and we worship you, Father. Lord, we thank you that the worship that we bring you, yes, it invokes your almighty power to come down and give us breakthrough here on earth. Lord God, we thank you that doors and prison doors and shackles will be shut even today, Lord God, even the next few moments, Lord. Things that have bound us, things that have kept us locked up, things that have kept us from your power and your presence, things that have kept us from your call and your destiny for our life would be no more. Suddenly, you would shake those things up as we worship you. And Lord, we'd be free, and others in our life and our family would be free. And Father God, we thank you that worship helps us win the battle. Because, Father, when we position ourselves through worship, you can do great and mighty things. And so, Father, may the spirit of worship consume us and overtake us, Lord God. May we be worshipers just like David was. No matter what we're facing, no matter how hard it is, we can still lift our hands and say, God, we praise you. You are good and you are faithful. What I'm experiencing is not good and faithful, but that's not who you are. You are good and you are faithful. And I will choose to bring my sacrifice of praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The power of worship, guys. And I'll tell you what, oh man, I've been so excited all week for this moment right here. Because I felt like my assignment wasn't just to teach you about the power of worship and have you leave. But I feel like what God wants to do in these last few minutes of our experience together today and our time with the Lord today is for you to experience the power of worship for yourself. Not to know about it and not to know the scriptures about it, but to literally experiencing the almighty power of God through worship, through refreshing you, through giving you breakthrough, and through allowing God to fight some of the battles that you're facing. And so we're gonna take a few minutes as we close this morning to worship the Lord together, to lift up his name and to call upon his name and to just lift our hands and lift our voices and lift our hearts and our minds to him, to experience breakthrough in our life and refreshing in our life. And for some of you, I can already see it in your body language, you're ready to go. Praise God, I'm so excited to worship. And yes, I get that and I agree with that. For some of you, you might be like, ah, Pastor, I ain't feeling it. I'm still a little heartbroken after last night. I'm still a little sleepy. I'm still a little whatever, fill in the blanks. I'm just not feeling it. I just don't wanna sing. I just wanna go. I'm just hungry. I just wanna go eat. I wanna challenge you to bring your sacrifice of praise to the Lord this morning. We see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the last verse I want to share with you. It says, therefore by him, who? Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving of thanks to his name. How many of you guys know it's a sacrifice of worship and praise when you don't feel like it? It's a sacrifice of worship and praise when your heart's not engaged. It's a sacrifice when you're still grieving that loss or that hard situation in your life. It's a sacrifice. It's not easy to do it. It's a sacrifice when you're mad at God about the circumstances in your life and you're confused and you're frustrated about why these things have happened or are happening in your life. It's a sacrifice when you're feeling down and depressed and anxious and worrisome. It's a sacrifice when you have no hope. But God doesn't say, oh, okay, I understand you feel bad. No worship today. No, he says, in spite of that, by the power of Jesus that lives in you, bring your sacrifice of praise. When you're surrounded on all sides, bring your sacrifice of praise. When it doesn't make sense, praise him. When you feel good, praise him. When you feel horrible, praise him. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the afternoon, praise him in the evening. May your praise continually be in my mouth, David said. May I do it at all times in every season, not just the times that are easy or good or fun or joyful. It's a sacrifice of praise. And I believe there's breakthrough that's about to happen in this room as we begin to lift up the name of Jesus and bring him a sacrifice of praise no matter what you're dealing with today. And can I encourage you with one thing before I let this team loose behind me? Worship, don't watch. Worship, you worship. Don't let me worship or them worship, you worship. At home, if you're tuning in online, worship. Worship, crank up the volume in the next few moments and just go vertical with the Lord, worship. You see, I've always heard this, it said this way, and it makes total sense to me because I love the food analogies. You can't feed yourself by watching other people eat food, right? You can't feed yourself, your body, by watching other people eat food. And you can't feed your spirit and soul by by watching other people worship. You have to worship. Watching other people worship passionately does inspire you. I get that, and that's awesome. But it will not feed your soul until you begin to let that sacrifice of praise out of your mouth and your lips. And I believe God will meet us in that space. Worship isn't meant to be a spectator activity or sport. It's a participation all activity. All are welcome to worship. Amen? It's not supposed to be watched. It's supposed to be witnessed and experienced. And so we're going to worship the Lord. And I just want to encourage and challenge every single one of us to sing, to open up your mouth and sing, to connect your heart. And maybe you experience a first this morning in worship. Maybe you come and you're like, you know, I never really sing the songs, just kind of like vibe my head or do one of these or like arm flap it or whatever. Maybe you're going to get into it. Maybe you're actually going to go, I'm going to sing these lyrics from my heart and connect with you in a way that I've never done before. For some of you, maybe you'll actually close your eyes and that's scary because I can't see what's going on, and just focus in on the Lord and allow him to minister and speak to our heart and show you things to come. Maybe for some of you guys, it's the first time you ever lift your hands in worship. Oh, that was weird. I remember the first time I went to church. What are they doing? Do they have a question? Sit down. He's the pastor. They're like, no, let them sing. Put your hands down. That's weird. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of praise. It's a surrender. It's just a posture of the body. If I'm like this, Lord, so good versus Lord, so good, I'm going to get more from this than this. Loosen up a little bit. Maybe just let the arms flap a little bit, right? Maybe go here. No one can see me, right? Oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. My fish is this big, right? Big, small screen TV, big screen TV, right? Dueling light bulbs. Wash the windows, right? However you guys want to do it. You're free to worship, right? Free. That was Tim Hawkins for you guys. You guys remember that? Yeah. Yeah. My fish is this big. Let loose a little bit. Let your body, notify your body that you're happy to be in God's presence and worship him. Don't be ashamed of it. Amen. He might get up all over you when you do that. And you might experience the power of God in a way that you never experienced before. You might experience breakthrough in your own life, in your heart. For some of you, maybe you come down this morning and I'm going to open up this altar during worship. And if you need a breakthrough, if you need refreshing, if you got a battle that you're fighting, you just need to get out of your seat as a sign of surrender and come down here and fill this altar with, as I prayed, I saw multiple people coming down. It's scary. It's bold. But I think God will meet you in your faith as you step forward out of your seat and come down here and lift a hand and just sing with the team and let God minister to you. If you're nervous to do that, maybe ask a friend or somebody else, would you go with me? Would you worship with me? I don't want to be the only one up there. I think that's awesome. Join somebody up at the altar and worship with them and let God's power and presence hit you this morning, because there is power in worship to revive us. And so we're gonna sing here. I'm gonna let these guys loose. But if you're here and you need breakthrough in your life, if you need refreshing in your life, if you need God's power in your life, if you need to position yourself, I want to invite you to stand. Would you guys stand to your feet? And if you want to, as the song starts, if you want to come down to the front, it's open. No one's going to judge you. No one's going to look any differently. Let's worship the Lord for just a few moments and let God's power and presence fill this space in our hearts. Amen.